Thank you, Brother Webb. Thank you for your testimony and for your teaching and for your invitation to each of us to reread the Book of Mormon this year and to help our students do the same. I know all of us are anxious to follow your leadership on that. On behalf of all of us, may I say how grateful we are to be led by you and by Elder Johnson and the Board of Education. And may I also be voiced, brothers and sisters, in expressing gratitude to Randall and Loya Hall for 40 years of remarkable service, as well as the others who have retired this year. Certainly, President Packer captured all our feelings when he said that we stand on the shoulders of giants. As we stand on those shoulders, I add my testimony to yours, brothers and sisters, that there are prophets and apostles again on the earth. The scriptures declare that their testimony and teachings establish faith in Christ, foster obedience, warn of evil, develop unity among the saints, explain scripture, and draw those who will listen to the Savior and his gospel. I believe that is at least part of what the Lord means when he says that their words are the power of God unto salvation. As Elder Maxwell taught, the scriptures and the teachings of the prophets occupy a privileged position. They are the key to teaching by the Spirit. Therefore, one way we will accomplish our objective is by teaching students the doctrines and principles of the gospel as found in the scriptures and the words of the prophets. In fact, both are necessary in accomplishing our objective. I have been invited to bear my testimony today about that phrase and the words of the prophets. That concludes the first sentence of the teach paragraph of our objective. As we begin our consideration of this important topic, I would like for there to be no misunderstanding. Our text is the scriptures. President Packer's clarion direction is that our commission, our charter, our objective in religious education is to teach the scriptures. If our students are acquainted with the revelations, there is no question, personal or social or political or occupational, that need go unanswered. Now, as a new teacher, I was assigned to a seminary with three other new teachers, and we watched as our principal, another giant on whose shoulders we still stand, carefully taught students the gospel as found in the scriptures, with a masterful inclusion of the teachings from General Conference. His students had a fire for learning. They had a love for the scriptures. They left with increased faith in the Savior and the restoration. And we sensed that it had something to do with the words of the prophets and apostles. And we wanted that for our students as well. The teachers on that and other faculties focused on this element of our objective. Those efforts began with a quote on the chalkboard or on the wall and included notes written in or glued into their scriptures. And yet there seemed to be more to this effort than occasionally copying a quote on the board or imitating a method they observed in a colleague's classroom. I watched these and other faculties wrestle with, ponder, discuss, and then act on great prophetic instruction such as this. Honoring the president of the church will cause us to draw nearer unto the Father. The most important reading we can do is any of the words of the prophet. For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works. Some of these teachers subsequently provided a conference edition of the Ensign to each student. The feelings in those classrooms were miraculous. The students learned to look to the prophets for answers, explanations, and insights into the scriptures. When rightly pursued, this led to greater understanding of the scriptures, powerful feelings of the Spirit, and to an increase of faith in the Savior. Additionally, our emphasis on student involvement is about more than students sharing their opinions and thoughts. There are gospel right answers. Including the words of the prophets in teaching and learning will help students learn to look for these answers while studying the scriptures in class and at home. There's a difference between asking a student to share their opinion and teaching students to search the revelations to discover the mind of the Lord and his prophets on a subject, and then asking them to share those discoveries. A teacher recently told me, as we were studying the scriptures in class, a student would raise their hand and say, "I'm reading President Monson's talk, and I remember that he said," and then they would read it to us. Then another student would say, "Elder Scott commented on that. This happened all through the lesson, and I just knew what was happening in their bedrooms at night." I recently spoke with an institute director who told me, "The dilemma is that I have so little time with so much material. I felt I was cheating the scripture block to reference General Conference. I have learned that it is just the opposite. The student's experience is actually enhanced, and their insight into the scriptures is magnified. The students have an instant connection with the living prophets and see all scripture as one great whole. The other thing I found is that I talked less about my experiences and my insights. General Conference provides an endless supply of examples, stories, and insights into the scripture." I would like to suggest two principles for our students and a third for us as teachers. Principle number one, listening to and following the teachings of the prophets leads to greater faith in the Savior. Mormon quotes his father and teaches the significant role of prophets in the development of individual faith when he asks and then answers the question, "How is it possible that you can lay hold upon every good thing?" His answer includes these verses. "The office of their ministry, the angels, is to call men unto repentance by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof." A few weeks ago, I sent my talk to a friend and colleague in the Eastern United States who responded. The phrase "according to the power thereof" refers to the power engaged from hearing what angels have declared unto modern chosen vessels. Our students' understanding, relying, qualifying, and preparing is all predicated upon having these truths go down into their hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost, which power is always present in the words of his prophets. These and other scriptures are clear, and I add my testimony that the words of the Lord's chosen vessels, his prophets, lead to faith in the Savior. Principle number two, the teachings of the living prophets will fortify our students against temptation and increase their ability to withstand the evils and persecutions they face today. President Eyring, speaking as our then commissioner, said,
"If I'd like to have a student able to withstand persecution, I need to tune his ears to the words of living prophets. Your young people can be deeply affected by the way you tell them what prophets are like. If when you describe your experiences with the words of prophets, you tell them the joy you felt and the joy you feel as you know that God speaks to you by living prophets, I bear you my testimony. You will be building power in them to resist temptation and to resist persecution."
I've spoken with several of our colleagues recently about this principle. One of them commented on the difference he has seen in his students as he has used the words of the prophets in class.
There's a huge difference. And I don't know, this will be a difficult question. I don't know exactly what to put the difference, except that the students, I just see they're stronger. They are just stronger. They seem more protected. They seem to overcome temptation easier. They seem to be more powerful in the things they're dealing with at the school. The more we learn to use the words of the living prophets, the more that they are just the more power I see in them. I don't know how to explain it other than that.
Brothers and sisters, I testify that our students will be strengthened, enlightened, and healed as they learn to look on the prophets and their teachings. Now, a principle for us as teachers. Listening to and following the words of the prophets will ensure that our doctrine is pure, our emphasis current, our explanations correct, and our methods powerful. The words of our called and appointed leaders will help us keep our doctrine sound and our explanations current. Their emphasis should be our emphasis, and their explanations should be our explanations. Elder Johnson's recent counsel to us to make sure that our teaching and explanations keep up with the current stance of the church matches what we have heard from Elder Holland and President Eyring.
What we then do teach must be in harmony with the prophets and the Holy Scriptures. Continue to study, but use caution and limit your lessons to what the brethren prescribe. Listen carefully 2 weeks from now and see what they choose to teach.
The best course for me has been to ponder that new insight, study, and pray before I teach it. Two good things come from that caution. The Spirit can confirm to me that what I thought was new had a long prophetic parentage. And even better, among those multiple witnesses, at least one of them will have said it more simply and with even more evidence of God's love. It's humbling, but it's a good idea.
Someone recently related an experience that may mirror those of your own. A student approached their teacher with questions about family, gender, and roles. Those questions continued for some time as none of the teacher's answers and explanations could calm the wrestle in this student's heart and mind. The teacher ultimately invited this student to read the proclamation on the family. And following a personal experience with these words of the prophets, the student returned, saying that their questions were answered. The stormy seas of doubt were now calm. The words of the prophets teach sound doctrine, establish current priority, and respond to the issues and questions with which the youth wrestle in a way that invites inspiration and revelation and fortifies faith. Besides clarifying doctrine and identifying emphasis, the prophets provide inspired insight which helps unlock the scriptures, which are our daily text. President Romney said it so clearly. Heavenly Father has not left us unguided to jangle over the interpretations of those revelations, nor does he leave us ignorant of his will on current issues. He has given us living prophets to interpret those revelations and to declare to us his will on present problems. It is hard to imagine that any of us will ever teach the laborers in the vineyard or the father with the afflicted child without referencing Elder Holland's recent talks on those marvelous passages, or the Savior's poignant question to the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ?" without using Elder Anderson's talk, "What thinks Christ of me?" Can any of us imagine teaching Doctrine and Covenants 121 again without President Eyring's prophetic insights into the pavilions that separate us from Heavenly Father? Such examples are nearly countless. There are dozens of passages quoted each conference, and a look through a single table of contents reveals title after title with roots in the Scriptures. I would like for you to hear from one of our teachers and a seminary student on this principle.
I think I have a strong testimony, and I've seen this with a number of students, that the modern prophets have a unique way. That they're the very best commentary on the standard works. That they have a way to open up our students' understanding in their minds and our understanding of minds to see the scriptures more powerfully, because they teach us the scriptures. They teach us what the scriptures are about.
And it says, "Behold, he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven, and I, the Lord, remember them no more." And this reminded me of a quote in the most recent general conference, and it is by Elder Craig A. Carden, and it's the talk, "The Savior Wants to Forgive." And it says, "In his mercy," that's my favorite part, because Christ, his mercy is endless, and "In his mercy, he allows for improvement over time rather than demanding immediate perfection." And I'm skipping ahead a little bit. And it says, "As often as we repent and seek his forgiveness, he forgives us again and again." And I know that Christ, no matter how bad our sins are, it's always possible for his forgiveness. And because of his mercy and his endless love, he will always be there for us and forgive us again and again.
Now, in addition to all of that, careful consideration of what the Lord's called and appointed authorities are saying to us today will highlight principles which, when pondered and applied under inspiration, lead to powerful teaching practices. We will learn not only about what should be taught, but also how it should be taught. The more we study and ponder the words of the prophets, the more we will learn about the how of teaching. The power of our teaching fundamentals and the practices espoused and taught in our handbook is not found in educational theory. It is found in doctrine. When methods have their moorings in truth and inspiration rather than philosophy and imitation, then they will have greater power and be more effective. In conclusion, in the Lord's great intercessory prayer and in 3 Nephi, he prays for his apostles and for us, that we, through believing on their words, might believe in him and become one. In another place, he says simply, "He that receiveth my servants receiveth me." A recurring theme in my personal study of the Book of Mormon this summer has been the role of living prophets. Near the beginning of Nephi's vision, the angel asks, "Thou rememberest the 12 apostles of the Lamb?" If the role of prophets and apostles is to teach and testify of the Savior, if their charge is to lead us to him, and if in turn our charge is to help youth and young adults understand and rely on the teachings and atonement of the Savior, we might well ask ourselves, "Rememberest thou the 12 apostles of the Lamb?" Along with President J. Reuben Clark, I testify that our students will be blessed as we teach this gospel, using as our sources and authorities the standard works of the church and the words of those whom God has called to lead his people in these last days. I testify that there are prophets again on the earth, and I testify of him to whom they point. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.